Well, how do you do? It's time to talk wine as we do each Tuesday afternoon with Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan is in the house with us on this beautifully gray November day.
Oh, yeah. It's all right. We just got to get used to it, baby. Yep. It's here. It's here until
a little light in the morning is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And boy, except when your son wakes you up right before the light. Like, how is it? Usually he's like, you know, he's like a rooster. Yeah. When the light comes out. But recently it's been before. Just enough before that I'm a little groggy today. But that's all right. We're good. But yeah, it's just that time of year. But also, you know, it's that time of year that since it's dark early, you get really lovely things. Like on Hammond Street, we have some of the poles, you know, lit up with some holiday lights and things like that. You're starting to see, you know, a bit more festivity and cheer. And, you know, I like that. You know, my childhood was full of that. I grew up in, you know, the boutique retail thing. And so my father would always have someone come in and do the windows, you know, a professional window dresser. And there was just a lot of, you know, chintz and tinsel. And he, you know, we would always as a family, like, make a point of going into Manhattan and doing that sort of thing. And the Macy's organ and things like that. It was, you know, so it's kind of, you know, the most wonderful time of the year sort of thing.
Well, it is. And because, you know, growing up around here, for me, as a kid, Christmas was downtown.
Yeah.
And that's why that's what makes me so excited that we've had this downtown renaissance in recent years, that it's that place again.
I was looking at a picture of the, I think it was the downtown in front of Freeze's or whatever, and just, you know, the lights strung across the street. I mean, it was like a spider web of just holiday wonderment and such. I can't imagine why we can't get back to that. I mean,
no, people want that.
I think people really do. Yeah. I think, you know, I think that's a, you know, not to get off wine and get you know, too far afield, but I think what will make America great again, really is like enjoying ourselves again in a wholesome way. That's what made America great, just getting out and, you know, being amongst other people and feeling good and being in the spirit and giving a little bit extra, you know, maybe putting something in the guy who's ringing the bells bucket there and stuff like that, and just be nice.
Well, and now's the time of year to do it.
That's the time of year to do it, right? So I'm down with that, and nice. So yeah, that's cool, and we enjoy, you know, dressing up the store a little bit as well. And you always feel good, you know, walking into even a retail, you know, retail environment where you're like, it's like it's lit up. It's not, you know, non-denominationally lit up.
Right. Oh yes.
So I was always a big fan of that, and so cool. A big part of the holiday festivities is, of course, wine. And looking ahead to next week, before I start in on our topic for this week, we're going to do a Thanksgiving/Thanks pairing show where we'll talk about not only pairing wines with the big holiday feasts coming up, but also I get a lot of questions about giving wine. And, you know, I'm supposed to get a wine for someone I don't know, or I'm supposed to get a wine for someone in my office, or I'm supposed to get a wine for my boss's wife or whatever, just stuff like that. So we'll talk about how to breathe and then, you know, figure out what to get. So for this week, we're still sort of regionally based, and we're going to be talking about the country of Chile, and also a really cool little project that has a quirky stopper system, we'll get to that anyway. I don't exactly know how to put it, but it earned my wrath, but my wrath is quelled now because I've had a sip of their delicious wine. So Chile, it occurred to me also, like, I don't think people really know geography anymore.
Oh no.
If they ever did. But I think it's gotten worse, and so I found myself, you know, talking about Argentina last week and thinking, like, I wonder if people know where Argentina is, and I wonder if people know where Chile is, and you know, we're going to talk a little bit about Uruguay and the rest of it after next week. So how does one put it? So hopefully you can sort of picture what South America in general looks like. And if you, it's gonna peak and bigger at the top, and then it kind of comes into a very, very, very long tail as you get towards the frigid waters of the south. And the country of Chile is, it runs two-thirds of the way, all the way from that southern tip all the way up on the western coast. It's a tremendously diverse climate. You get from the obviously very, very, very cold parts of the south, and of course the Andes Mountains, which are a huge geologic formation that dominates both Chilean and Argentine wine. And the wine regions kind of sit on opposite sides of the Andes Mountains. So the ones we were talking about last week with Mendoza and everything, that kind of sits in on the eastward side of these mountains. Today we're going to be talking about the west side and these this coast of Chile. Incredible breadth of vineyard land. Hard to document in like wine atlases or whatever very often, because it's just from the far north all the way to the south, and it's virtually perfect vineyard land. You have a very fertile soil, Mediterranean-type climate. The only real issue with Chile in general is it's very dry. It's very, very dry. And so for a long, long time, you know, back including to, dry. But back to the time of was the Aztecs, the Incas. Mm. Now I'm feeling like it's this Fernando Venezuela question. Aztec. Breathing up the wrong side of his eyelids.
Right.
But there are Incas. It's the Incas. There are really interesting irrigation channels that have been dug. So when the snow melt from the Andes happens, the water runs down and irrigates the farmland. This is less of a problem, of course, for vines, because they do want vines to really, really struggle and plunge their roots really deep. And indeed, the wine we're going to try today is dry farmed. It is not irrigated in any way, either industrially or sort of magically. It's just you know, whatever little rain it happens to get, and then sinks its vines down to find the water table. Excuse me. The other thing, just like we were talking last week, there's no phylloxera there naturally. So it was very easy for viticulture to get started. And the most famous early grape was the Pais, which we also know as the Mission grape, which we found up in California and places like that. And I think last year we tried a Pais wine. They're kind of a little wild and a little racy, but super tasty. And very often you can find them either chillable or in just kind of very robust reds. The other big grape that you find in Chile that we're not trying today is Carmenere. Carmenere is kind of the lost varietal of Bordeaux, originally from the Medoc region of Bordeaux, and of course brought, like so many of these Bordeaux-style grapes, brought over in clippings when the phylloxera problems were happening over in Europe. And Carmenere basically never got replanted in Bordeaux because it's kind of, it shows a lot of like green and kind of bell pepper and not a lot of really ripe fruit. But in Chile, it's really shown some very interesting expressions. And so I encourage you, if you're kind of curious, to try the lost Bordeaux varietal, to check that out. The wine we are trying today is kind of fun. This is the grape Carignan, which is one of my favorite, full of black currant cassis sort of notes typically, and this one is no exception. As I said, dry farmed. So this is from the Garage Wine Company, and these guys, back when they started to make wine, they had an opportunity to actually go look at a big famous vineyard in Chile. And there are a number of big famous vineyards in Chile, because Chile actually saw a lot of big foreign investment in the 1980s and 90s. The Rothschild family, for instance, was a big one, and some others that you'd probably recognize. Anyway, so these guys went to this vineyard and they said, okay, you can have this row, and it's really, really good fruit. And they said, okay, but what about all these other vines? They're like, oh yeah, that's all leased out to this one, you know, big conglomerate. And they're like, so if we ask you to farm this organically and everything, no, we couldn't possibly, because everything. So like, okay. So they started going to really hyper small vineyards, and there are actually a lot in Chile. And they started doing these single lot, you know, one shot deals of really awesome fruit from super tiny little vineyards, and they're really awesome. And the story that I was going to tell you, I came in today and I asked Rich for a piece of paper, and I took the bottle and I turned it over and I wrote with the wax top, I wrote high. In bright yellow. And I wanted to see if I could do that. And the reason is because these two guys, they're friendly with a school supplies dealer. And so the wax that they decided to use is crayon wax.
Ah.
And I thought that's really cool. And really, until I started to try and take the wax off the top, my hands all turned yellow and I had to excuse myself and go to the bathroom, wash my hands. So it's a really good wine and it's worth getting to. But, you know. Anyway, I have just a second left. So this Thursday we have our monthly tasting. It's going to be really good. We have a really fun guest, actually a couple guests. Specialty Sweets from downtown is going to be there, as well as a guest wine pourer. And we're going to have some awesome Turkey Day wines. Come on out, 5 to 7 p.m. this Thursday. And we'll see you all here next Tuesday for the Thanksgiving/Thanks Pairing episode.
Thank you, Eric. And yeah, the yellow just highlights your awesomeness.
You're adorable.
Man, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle on downtown.